Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. May the Lord bless us and be with us as we're found in his house this morning. Those that are visiting as well, we extend to you a very warm welcome in the Saviour's name, and may the Lord bless you as you're with us this morning. Let me just go through the announcements at this time by firstly reminding you that immediately after the morning service, we will be observing the Lord's table. And it is for those that are saved and walking with the Lord. And we do extend to each one that invitation to remain behind and to even observe the Lord's table in his appointed way. And we will, as we mentioned last week, be bringing in one new member into our membership this morning. Our evening service at 7 p.m. this evening. And it is preceded by the time of prayer at 6:30 here in the main church hall. We're continuing in our studies in the book of Acts, and we're coming this evening to an interesting part in Acts 18, and we're looking at it under the heading, The Indifference of a Sinner. And so we do encourage you and invite you to come back again this evening and to be found in your place, even around God's precious word. Monday evening continues with our children's meetings at 7 p.m. And we do encourage you to remember this work as it's got going. Again, we're certainly thankful to the Lord for his blessing last week. There were four new children gathered in as well. We're thankful to the Lord for that. And we do pray that week by week that we will know the Lord's blessing and hand upon that work. Wednesday night is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study here in the church at 8 p.m. And as always, young and old alike are invited and encouraged to come along to that meeting. And we'll be here, God willing, to conduct that service. Can we mention for the young people, this Friday evening is the Youth Council evening of prayer for the West, and it is being held in our Enniskillen congregation at 8 p.m. And young people, we're encouraging you to go along to that evening of prayer over the month of October. I was just looking at the diary, but the two meetings that we were scheduled to have in October will both be in other churches. We have the evening of prayer here for the Youth Council in Enniskillen, and then the 15th is our harvest weekend here in the church, and then the 22nd, our Clocker Valley congregation are having a youth rally as part of their celebrations of opening the new church building, and we'll be going along to that as well. So young people, do remember these meetings, and as we mentioned, this Friday evening, 8 p.m. over in our Enniskillen congregation. Next Sunday, the services at the normal times, beginning with the Sabbath school in the morning, 10:30, the normal service times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. Next week will also be the return offering for the building fund. Can we just remind you, as we always do at the start of a month, of the special meetings that are planned for this month? And as we just mentioned a moment ago, do remember the harvest weekend, Friday the 15th of October, and then Sunday the 17th of October will be our harvest weekend. And we do encourage you to make sure and set that time aside to be even inviting and encouraging others in to our harvest weekend as it will come round. Can we mention then just a few items that have come from Presbytery? And first of all, just a number of calls which were issued and accepted. Mr. Stephen Nilsson received and accepted the call to our Resharkin congregation. Mr. Simon Anderson received and accepted the call to our Auchnacloy congregation, and Mr. Philip Knowles received and accepted the call to our South Grove congregation over in London. And so do pray for these three brethren and their families as the plans are made and will be put in place even for their ordinations, and pray for them as they commence their ministries in those churches, that the Lord will bless them and that the Lord will use them in the days that lie ahead. And then on behalf of our missionary council, Friday the 19th to Sunday the 21st of November is the missionary council weekend, and it's being held once again in our Microboy Hotel down in Portrush. It's two nights B&B, one evening dinner, and then a three-course Sunday dinner, and the price is £125 per person sharing. Or if you're looking at a single room going in your own, it's £165 for the weekend. And there'll be special meetings throughout that weekend, the Friday, the Saturday, and then again fellowship as well at various times. And if you'd like to go along, a good number of the rooms have already been booked up. So if you'd like to go along, you need to get in soon and the details we can provide for you if you want to get in contact with those that are planning that weekend. Then, can we just bring to you again the need for prayer for our sister Rachel, who is the Reverend Lyndon's daughter. We mentioned on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting, she is seriously ill with a very rare and a very severe lung condition. And I was in contact with the Reverend Lyndon again just last night for an update, and he says there has been tiny pieces of improvement. She has been able to get home again to her family, and she was able yesterday, they called down just to see her, and short conversation she was able to hold and to eat small bits of food. And you might think that's not much, but the rare condition it's been, she hasn't been able to eat. And the fact she was able to eat anything has been a big improvement, a big encouragement to them. She's still completely dependent upon oxygen, still needs much prayer. And we do encourage you at this time to keep upholding her and indeed her family at the throne of grace in prayer. 152, we'll commence our worship with this morning. The hymn 152 you'll find in the page 238. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. 152, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. That's a hymn maybe that's not sung too often. I was looking at it whenever I picked it, and I thought to myself, I couldn't remember the last time I ever sung it over all the years. But yet, in my head, it sounded so familiar. But it's wonderful words, certainly. And what a place heaven will be, even as we've been looking at it over the weeks. as we come again this morning to look at it. What a blessed and what a wonderful place it's going to be. No dark valley, no sorrow, no suffering, no crying, no pain. Just peace, just joy. My, what a place heaven will be. Let's have a word of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. I want to thank Thee and praise Thee, O God, for Thy goodness and Thy mercy to us another day. I want to thank and praise Thee for this Thy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy hand upon us already in this day, for every blessing that we have received. Lord, every good and every perfect gift which has come down from Thee, we praise Thee, and we give Thee all of the thanks and all of the glory for it. We thank Thee, O God, for watching over us and for bringing us into this day safely. We thank Thee, O God, for raising us up out of our beds, O God, and even bringing us into this Thy house. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the food we've been able to enjoy, the clothes upon our back. Lord, we acknowledge everything is from Thee, and we give Thee all of the praise for it. But Lord, above all, we praise Thee for Thy Son. Above all, we praise Thee for salvation. We thank and praise Thee for the grace of God. We thank and praise Thee, O God, that we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Lord, even as we gather to Thy house this day, O Father, may we have clean hands. May we have pure hearts. May we have, O God, the Spirit of God within us working and even encouraging us and invigorating us in our worship. Lord, that our hearts will be set upon Thee, that all of the cares and the concerns of life, O Father, even as we've come to this house, will have been cast upon Thee. And Lord, that we will come in and we will worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank Thee for this house. We thank Thee, O God, for the precious Word of God that we've been able to carry in our hands today. We do rejoice it's a living Word. We rejoice, O God, it's a perfect Word. It has been given to us from Thee directly, and we praise Thee and we thank Thee for it. Lord, even as we read again from these precious pages, Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy word to our hearts. Even as we meditate upon it, as we hear it preached this day, O God, that we will have even our hearts burning within us. We think of that time in the Emmaus Road, O God, when the Lord Jesus drew alongside those disciples, and He walked with them and He talked with them. And their confession, their testimony was this: did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us in the way? O God, burn our hearts, we pray Thee. Lord, may we know the Lord's presence amongst us. May we know the speaking voice of Almighty God to each one of us today. Lord, Thou knowest the hearts. Thou art the one who looks past the outward appearance. Thou art the one who sees into the very depths and into the very most inner parts of our heart. O Father, minister to us. Speak to those that are lost, those that are still out of Christ. O Father, save their precious, never-dying souls. We think of those that are cold today. We think of those, O God, that have been wandering in Bypath Meadow. Lord, graciously draw them back unto Thyself. And Lord, we think even of that good shepherd. He went out even after the one. Lord, He left the 99. He went after the one. O Father, go after the one today. Lord, work in their heart. Draw them and bring them unto Thyself. Lord, we think of Thy people. We think of Thy children, those that love Thee, those that walk with Thee. O Father, even this day, may they draw ever closer to Thee. Lord, may that prayer be in their hearts, nearer, still nearer, close to Thy heart. Draw me, my Saviour, so precious Thy art. O God, draw us ever closer to Thee. Lord, work in our hearts. Work in each one, we pray Thee. We thank Thee for this house. We thank Thee for what has already been accomplished this morning. We thank Thee for the Sabbath school. We thank Thee, O God, for the children that were under Thy word this morning, for help given to Thy servants. We pray for Thy blessing even upon that word, that those young people, those children that have heard Thy word today will not simply forget it, but rather will even think upon it. Will even, O God, meditate upon it. And Lord, even through that word, that they will be drawn unto Thyself. Lord, remember our youth and our congregation. Remember each one, we pray Thee, bless them. Lord, lead them and guide them. O Father, even in their lives, may they know the leading of the Lord. May they know, O God, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, may it be that clear direction to each one of them. Lord, bless them in their own lives. Lord, we think of each family. We think of every individual. Lord, we do think as well of those of our elderly, no longer able to be with us. We think of our sick as well, O God, laid aside today. Lord, touch each one of them. Be gracious unto them. Lord, may they know thy presence with them. Remember those that are mourning in these days as well. We pray for them. We pray, O God, that thou wilt draw near and that thou wilt bless them. Lord, that thou wilt fill that empty chair day and daily. May they know that the Holy Comforter is there abiding with them. Lord, do them good, we pray thee. Lord, remember as well our sister Rachel. We bring afresh her need to thee, O God, this day. We thank thee, Lord, for these slight improvements, that there's been these significant changes. Lord, if it be thy will, continue, O God, to touch her. And continue, O God, to strengthen her. And Lord, may she be able to look back and to see that full recovery. Lord, we think of those as well with loved ones in this congregation that have been laid aside. We thank thee, Lord, for that touch that there has been upon them and that improvement. Lord, we just pray that they will know that full recovery of health as well. Lord, thou art the great God. We are poor and needy, but yet we thank and praise thee that thou dost think upon us. Lord, remember us in this time ahead. We think of our morning service. We think as well of the communion table. Lord, bless us and prepare us even for it. Lord, may we, O God, not be eating and drinking damnation to ourselves, but rather, O God, may we be walking close to thee with our eyes upon thee. Wash us afresh, O God, cleanse us afresh, and fill us afresh with thy Spirit. Lord, be with us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together the words of Psalm 116. Psalm 116, as we continue week by week to read through the Psalms together. And never ceases to amaze me whenever I read over the Psalm for the week. And I see how wonderfully it ties in to the morning message. As you know, it's not planned that way, but God in his providence brings it about that way. We thank God even as we come today in our studies in the peace of heaven. We're coming today to consider there's no more sorrow, there's no more crying. And all you have to do is go to the verse 3 and you'll see the sorrows that there are mentioned even there and how gracious the Lord is even to his people. Psalm 116, the verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Now hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful psalm even to be reading together this morning. 611 we'll sing together just before we come to the preaching of God's word. 611, the pages 423 My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding ever upward. This troubled world is not my final home. 611, and we'll stand again, as we sing, please. I invite you to open your Bibles now, please, in the book of Revelation. Once again, the chapter 21. Revelation 21, we'll read the opening four verses again this morning. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." We're coming again this morning to consider the second part of the peace of heaven. The peace of heaven. And this morning we're directing our thoughts primarily to the two no mores that are found in the verse number 4. There shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more crying. We're putting these two together this morning as we consider God's word. Let's have a moment's prayer, please, just at this time as we seek the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. And oh God, we thank thee for the joy that we have in our hearts when we consider the place called heaven. We thank thee, oh God, that each and every one that is saved has that blessed assurance that that is their final destination, that is their eternal home. Oh God, what a thrill it is to know that the Lord Jesus, who walked upon this earth, has gone to heaven to prepare that place for us. And he has promised to come again and to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will be with him. Lord, bless us even now as we come around thy word again. And as we consider these next two no mores, O God, in this passage, Lord, may it encourage us. May it thrill us. May it, O God, even cause us to love thee even more. Lord, bless thy word now to our hearts. Fill us with thy spirit. Speak to each and every one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come again, as I said this morning, to these wonderful verses, which bring to us this wonderful and this very precious insight as to what heaven will be like. It is that place of great serenity. It is that place of great peace. Last week we noticed together the importance of there being no more sea in heaven, no more separation, no more stress, no more sin, no more struggles, no more storms. Place of great peace. This morning we return to this wonderful place called heaven. We come to consider the glorious truth that in heaven there will be no more sorrow and there will be no more crying. My, what a contrast heaven is compared to the experiences that we all have upon this earth. Thomas Moore, he said, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." And you think of all of the sorrows that we experience upon this earth, and yet in heaven, all of that sorrow will be removed. All of that sorrow will be cast into the distant background, never to be experienced again. Augustine, he said, "Who can measure the happiness of heaven, where no evil at all can touch us, no good will be out of reach, where life is to one long Lord extolling God, who will be all in all, where there will be no weariness to call for rest, no need to call for toil, no place for any energy, but only praise. No place for sorrow. No place for heartache in heaven. No place for anguish. No place for crying. No grief, no sadness will be allowed in heaven. It's all going to be kept outside of those wonderful pearly gates. It's all going to be kept outside of the New Jerusalem. None of it is welcome. None of it will be allowed in. Thank God today the time of sorrow and weeping for those who are saved will come to an end. Our eternal destination, our eternal home will not welcome or permit sorrow in through the gates. They're the unwelcome people that will never be allowed in. No, as I thought of sorrow, as I thought of weeping, I thought to myself, well, how can we apply this? What can we look at whenever we consider no more sorrow, no more crying? There were three thoughts that came to my mind. I want to bring them to you this morning. I want you to see firstly and to think firstly with me of the source of all sorrow. The source of all sorrow. You want to know where sorrow and suffering comes from? You need to go to the book of beginnings. You go to the book of Genesis. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, we know after every single part, every single step of God's creation, day by day, as those 6 days came and they went, at the end of every day, God looked, God observed, and God said it was good. Nothing was negative, nothing was bad within the creation of God. Every single part of it was perfect. Adam and Eve, when they were created, lived in harmony. There was that harmony with all of creation. Everything was in its rightful place. Everything was doing that which was expected and that which was even allowed for it to do. And yet when sin entered into the world and destroyed that paradise, you know, the first thing that God spoke of to Adam and Eve after their sin, the first element that God mentioned to them after their sin was sorrow. Whenever he met with them in the cool of the day, whenever he exposed their sin, he asked that question, Adam, where art thou? And then he brought their sin to light. He brought it that they even stood before him and they had to confess. They had to say, yes, we sinned. And yes, they tried to turn the blame. Adam blamed his wife. His wife blamed the serpent. They constantly were moving it down the line. But when God came to judge them, what was the first thing he said to them? You've now got sorrow. Whenever he spoke to Eve in Genesis 3 and verse 16, he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And then he turns to Adam, the verse 17, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all of the days of thy life. Both Adam and Eve, the first words that God muttered or God mentioned and brought to their attention, their sorrow. You've sinned, you've now got sorrow. And from that moment when sin entered into the world, sorrow and weeping has been a part of life ever since. Every single generation, every single family, every single individual, throughout your life, there are times of weeping. Yes, there are times of rejoicing, but there are times of weeping. There are times of sorrow in everyone's life. You think of the sorrows that come upon an individual as they take their journey through this life, from even their childhood right up through into the adulthood, into the old age if God spares them. You think of the many sorrows that come your way. There's sorrow and sickness. Isaiah 38. The great King Hezekiah is upon that bed of sickness. And God sends Isaiah, his prophet, to him. And God sends him in. And that message that Isaiah gives to King Hezekiah, the verse 1, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Tells us in verse 3. Hezekiah wept sore. Bad news came from the Lord. Your sickness is going to take your life. And the sorrow of his sickness, he wept sore. You think of the sorrow of separation. Whenever we lose our loved ones, whenever we lay those earthly remains into the ground, when there's that separation one from the other, you think of the sorrow that that brings. I think of the great lamentation that was made even of Jairus' daughter by those women that came, the wailers that came in their custom. And all that great lamentation was being lifted. I think even of the separation that Jacob felt from his own children. We mentioned the verse last week. We do so again this morning. Genesis 42, the verse 38. Whenever they're seeking to take Benjamin down into Egypt. And Jacob, he says, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead. He is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall you bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. In other words, Jacob, in his understanding that time, he believes, I've already lost one son. I can't lose another, because that separation breaks my heart. There's sorrow and sickness, sorrow and separation. There's sorrow from suffering. You want to look at someone who suffers, normally our minds go straight to Job, don't they? And all that Job experienced in those times of test, in those times of trial, the 10 children that he lost in the one day, all of his earnings, all of his farm, all of his income, all of that blessing and that wealth that he had, all of his livestock, everything gone in the one day. And then he loses his health. He's sitting there covered in boils from head to toe. He's suffering like no one has ever suffered up to that point. Job 16, verse 16. He says, my face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. The verse 20, he says, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. My, there's great sorrow and suffering. You think of the sorrow even, and keeping with the alliteration, how to go with this, sorrow from sedition. I draw your attention to Absalom and David. David, as he's overthrown by his son Absalom, as Absalom had turned the heart of the people away from their righteous and their right king David. And David has to flee from his throne. He has to flee from his palace. He has to flee from his home. And he's so filled with that sorrow and that sedition. His own son has turned against him. His own family has went against him. His own child that he had brought into the world gone against him. 2 Samuel 15, verse 30, it tells us David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. He wept. As he went up, he had his head covered, and he went up barefoot, and all of the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. He's cast off his throne by his own son. His heart's broken every single step of that journey. You think as well in your own life of the sorrow that stress brings. That stress, whenever it comes upon your life and it weighs in your head completely, it weighs down your heart. You're unable to turn. You're unable to do anything else. You're just filled with stress. You're filled with dread and that sorrow that it brings to you. You remember David again. He and his friends returned to Ziklag. The Amalekites, whenever they had been away from the city of Ziklag, the Amalekites had come and they destroyed the city. They kidnapped their wives and their children, all of the families that were left behind by the warriors that had went with David. All their children are gone, their wives are gone, and they're there. Their city's burned to the ground. And they didn't know what would become of their loved ones. They didn't know if their loved ones were still alive. They didn't know what will we find even as we go looking for them. What state will they be in? What will be their even existence if it's still there? 1 Samuel 30, the verse 4. Says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever broken over a loved one? You ever filled with that stress over one of your children, maybe a sibling, maybe a parent, whatever the situation may be, and the stress is upon you, the concern is upon you, the burden is upon you. And the sorrow that that brings to your heart. Every single sorrow you feel and experience in this life is a direct result of sin. There was no sorrow before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. It is the source of sin. It is the source of sorrow. But thank God, in a new heaven and a new earth, there is no sorrow in heaven. There's no crying. All sin is gone, so all sorrow is gone. the source of all sorrow. But then secondly, my mind then turned to the Savior from all sorrow. The Savior from all sorrow. Now, as you study through the four Gospels, time and again, you will think of those words, and you come to the different, in terms of the humanity side of Christ, the different interactions that there are, the times when it mentions Christ's sorrow, the times that it mentions Christ's weeping. You see, the tears and the sorrow of our Savior cannot be understated or underestimated. It's certainly noteworthy to highlight this. Nowhere in Scripture, until Christ comes into this world, do you read of God weeping. Nowhere through the Old Testament will you read of God weeping. But when Christ is clothed in our humanity and he takes onto his perfect deity, he takes that perfect humanity and it brings it into that union, the one with the other, then you read of Christ weeping. Then you read of God shedding tears. You might say, well, what do you mean in terms of Genesis 6 and verse 6? Well, how do you read that? Because Genesis 6 and verse 6 is sin in Noah's day. Tells us that it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him. But it doesn't say he wept. The weeping is found in Christ. And whenever Christ was upon this earth, then we read of the tears of God. And I say that reverently. I'm not making it out as if humanity is needed in terms of we are so great. I'm saying that reverently. But that's the scripture that is there. And quite rightly, Isaiah, he describes Christ in Isaiah 53 and the verse 3. He describes Christ as that man of sorrows. For the Lord Jesus experienced great anguish of body and of mind and great upset in his life. We know, of course, and many of the children, even in the early days and in Sunday school and children's meetings, they will learn the shortest verse in Scripture. It's found there in John 11, verse 35. Jesus wept as he stood at Lazarus' grave. As he observed even those 4 days, he knew the 4 days had passed. He observed the weeping of Martha and of Mary. He observed the weeping and the lamentation. And of course, he was feeling it himself. He was a great friend of Lazarus. We can think as well of the weeping of Christ at Jerusalem. Luke 19, verse 41, tells us when he was come near and beheld a city, and he wept over it. Hebrews 5, and verse 7, speaking of Christ, says this, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. And then you think of our Lord and Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he entered into the garden, even his disciples at the gate. He left eight of them at the gate. Then he went further with Peter, James, and John. Matthew 26, verse 37, it tells us he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In verse 38, he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The Greek word here for exceeding sorrowful, it's one word, it's perilupus. It means intensely sad. I believe then, as he went forward, tells us he fell on his face to the ground. I believe Christ wept in that garden. I have no doubt in my mind or my heart at all. Yes, we talk about the blood coming out of the sweat glands of hematrohidrosis. And how sweat those drops of blood. But I believe from his eyes many tears were shed. As he prayed that prayer, Abba Father, all things are possible with thee. Let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I believe the tears were flowing. Because he was exceeding sorrowful, not from the mind, not just from the heart. He was exceeding sorrowful from the soul. You think then of the anguish and the sorrow that he suffered upon the cross. As God the Father turned away from his only begotten Son. Those 3 hours of darkness as the wrath of God came down upon his own Son. Those 3 hours of darkness, all of the punishment for all of the sins of all of his people, it's all upon Christ. He cries, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My friend, this morning, Christ is the one who has experienced sorrow in a greater way than we could ever imagine or we could ever experience in our own lives. Is it any wonder then that we can turn to the words and we can say that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities? That shows the grace and the mercy of God. One that has experienced sorrow to a greater degree than you and I could ever do. And yet he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Is it any wonder we're encouraged to cast all of our care upon him? Because we know he cares for us. Christ has experienced sorrow. Christ experienced sorrow of heart. Lazarus was buried. Christ experienced the sorrow of mind. Even as he looked upon Jerusalem, he knew what was coming to Jerusalem in the years ahead. Christ experienced the sorrow of the soul because he was separated from his Father as his Father turned away from him. My, what a Savior we have. And then thirdly and finally, I want you to consider with me one final thought. The salvation from all sorrow. The salvation from all sorrow. The verse 4, it begins with the words, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You look at those words. The Savior himself is going to come to you personally. He's going to look you in the face. The tears that are coming down your eyes. He's going to reach out the hand. He's going to wipe them away. He's not simply going to say to a seraphim or a cherubim, he's not going to turn to one of the 24 elders or one of the other saints of God in heaven. He's going to come personally and lovingly to each one of his children, and he's going to stand face to face with them, and he's going to wipe away the tears. What does that tell me? Firstly, it tells me that he regards our tears. God takes note of every tear you shed. Isn't that what was said in the message that Isaiah went back to deliver to Hezekiah? Isaiah told him, Hezekiah, set thine house in order. This disease, this illness is going to take your life. You're not going to live. You're going to die. And Isaiah left Hezekiah's room. He left that bedside and he was heading home. And God said, don't go home, go back. Because what did God say to Isaiah? Isaiah 38 in the verse 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. God took note. Child of God, God regards every one of your tears. You might be crying in the secret place, away from the husband, away from the wife, away from the children. You might be crying in that closet. The stress and the sorrow that's upon your heart, unknown to anyone else, and yet God regards every one of your tears. He sees them. Not only does he regard our tears, but I believe he records our tears. In the Psalm 56 in the verse 8, the psalmist, he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Every time you cry, I don't mean just crying because you've hurt your wee knee or skinned your wee elbow. Boys, the kids cry whenever they do that. But every time you cry from the depths of your heart, God writes it down. The date, the time, the place, the reason. It's all in the book. He regards his people's tears, his children's tears. He records them. I'm just thinking, I've never wrote down once my child has cried. There's been many times as I've been young, children cry. I've never wrote it down once and took note of it. If I was minding them, maybe Alex was out of the house, I come back and says, "Boys, I cried today." But I've never wrote it down. God writes down every one of your tears. Every time, every reason, every place, he's wrote them all. And then, as it tells us in the verse 4, he removes our tears. Because it says, he wipes away all of the tears from their eyes. Isn't that in agreement with the words that are found in Isaiah 65 in the verse 17 to 19? It says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Isaiah 60 in the verse 20 as well, it says, "The days of thy mourning shall be ended." Remember those wee words we've highlighted before, and it came to pass. There's a time when they're here. There's a time when there'll be no more. The Lord is preparing, even as he tells us in John 14, he's preparing that place for us. It's the place where tears are not allowed, where sorrow is not welcome. Romans 14, the verse 17, it says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." John 16, verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Child of God, we're saved not only from sin, we're saved not only from hell, we're saved not only from eternal death, we're saved from sorrow. We're saved from crying. Every single tear is gone. My, what a place of serenity and peace heaven is. But faithful to the gospel, I must highlight the contrast. What a difference hell is. The place of weeping, the place of gnashing of teeth, the place of torment, in other words, the place of great sorrow. Because that's what the rich man cried when he lifted his eyes in torment. He says, "I am tormented in the flame." In hell, God does not wipe away tears. He doesn't come to a sinner, look them in the eye, and remove the tear from them. He doesn't even acknowledge them. He will not respond to the tears of the sinner in hell. He will not show compassion or mercy. Even though the cry went up, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name?" The Lord says, "Depart. I never knew you." My, what a difference there is for the believer compared to the unbeliever. Child of God, today we rejoice. Heaven is a real place. We'll be with our Savior. We'll see Him face to face. And whatever heartache has been upon our heart, it's all removed. Whatever stress, whatever sorrow, whatever suffering we've experienced, it's all gone. It's eternal peace and eternal joy. But unsaved, remember the difference. Hell is torment. Hell is anguish. Hell is weeping. Hell is sorrow. My friend, be in Christ today. Be sure you're saved. If you're not saved today, harden not your heart. But rather come to Him. And him that cometh unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, I will in no wise cast out. Might see the difference. Come to Christ. We're going to have a word of prayer as we close. Then after we pray, we'll sing. Being seated just as we're preparing for the Lord's table, we'll sing those words of 612. And then we'll have the Lord's table. During the second verse, I'll go to the door in the first verse and chorus. And during the second verse, we'll ask the brethren to come forward and to prepare for the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, for that sure and that certain hope we have in Christ. We thank Thee even for the revelation that we have before us. O God, of what heaven will be like, and my, it thrills our hearts. It gives us, O God, that expectancy. Yeah, it gives us that greater love even for Thee. Lord, when we consider the great suffering, the great sorrow that our Lord and Savior experienced upon this earth, He left the splendors of glory. He left that place of adulation. He left that place of love and rejoicing, of joy, of peace. He left it to come down into this world, to be made under the law, to undergo the miseries of this life, to go to the cross, to die for our sins. Oh, Father in heaven, we say from the bottom of our heart, we love Thee, because Thou didst first love us. Lord, bless us now as we come around Thy table. Lord, even now prepare our hearts. And Lord, bless in the moments that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.